took a road trip, you might just happen into Willow Creek, a suburban neighborhood in By Jove, North Carolina. If you happened to enter this neighborhood, you might ask someone where the main attraction of this area was. They would almost certainly tell you to head to the park and see the top of the league's little league baseball team, the Willow Creek Technics, playing a ball game. You would go and look, of course, but the field only had a coach pitch team doing ground ball drills. The Willow Creek Park not only has the best baseball teams, but it also has a creek. If you went down the path to the bridge, put on your water shoes, and entered the creek, you could take a short walk to a simple plank bridge. On the right side of the bridge were the Campbells. On the left were their best friends, the Brysons. If you went to visit the Brysons, 9-year-old Matthew would show you his newest pitch, probably a curveball or changeup. 7-year-old Caleb would show you his invention, and 5-year-old Finley would tell you all about the highlights of her day. Matthew loved sports. He did well in school and enjoyed maths and reading, but he liked sports best. He played baseball, soccer, and touch football. Caleb was a scientist. His best friend was their dog, Sneaker, who helped him with his inventions. Finley was a cheerful kid. She played baseball, like Matthew, but liked to listen to Caleb talk about the finer points of his inventions. She liked it when she did things right, and she always wore her hair in pigtails. The three siblings lived with their parents, Anne and David, in a two-story house in Willow Creek. I am here to tell you about them. Episode The Bryson School Part 4. If you have not listened to the first, second, and third parts of The Bryson School, please either go to the top of the page, the episodes tab, scroll down and listen to those episodes, or go up to the top left of the screen, click on the creek icon, and scroll down to listen to those episodes. They are needed for context to listen to this episode. All right, this is part 4 of The Bryson School. If you enjoy this part or enjoy one of the previous parts, you should be on the lookout for The Bryson School part 5 and part 6 about the last day of The Bryson School and the parents' night, in which they do their band concert and their drama club's play. Okay, this is part 4 of The Bryson School. When Matthew arrived at the community center Thursday morning, he was very excited to work on his project. When David blew his whistle, everyone lined up to go to their classes, but they were led to the library instead, and were told to get together in their groups to work. They would have all of the time before lunch to work on their projects. Then the first half of the afternoon would be a lesson time, and then they would review what they had learned that week for the coming exams. Matthew didn't expect the exams would be very hard. He knew that reviewing was all a formality, because they were preparing students for the coming school year. So they were having a school year in a week. Matthew and his group got together at one of the tables. They found some books on the Hanging Gardens of Babylon and got to work researching. They wrote down notes on some paper and used some plain white paper to draw what they wanted their slideshow to look like. They were going to draw their own pictures. Since Isabel Paget in Matthew's group was a great artist, she got to work looking at the drawings in the two books they had found about the civilization around the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. Then she took inspiration from the book's illustrations, got out her pencils and her colored pencils, and she began to draw. Matthew, Dash Mathers, and Jake discussed what information needed to go on the slideshow, what could be left out, and where they wanted to put everything on the slides. they would have about 3 minutes to present their slideshow, so they wanted to make the best out of what little time was given to them. Matthew asked David if they could get on one of the library's computers, and David said that that would be okay. He signed into his own account on the browser, and they opened up a blank slideshow. Matthew and his group selected a theme, which was like the background for the slideshow. They chose one called Jungle, which had a lot of ferns and flowers and trees. David helped them take photos of Isabel's drawings with his cell phone, email them to David's email account, and then add them to the slideshow. With a lot of help from spell check, they typed paragraphs on each slide. The paragraphs were full of information about the Hanging Gardens. Caleb, Joshua, Ridley were working on a project about chemical reactions. They got help from Anne to create their slideshow, and then they began filling it with a lot of information about chemical reactions, which they got from a book titled Chemical Reactions, Everything You Need to Know. They talked about atoms and reactants and products and sounded very grown up with all the information they knew. After the groups had worked for several hours, their slideshows were now nearly done, it was time to go to lunch. Anne, David, and Jen handed out paper bags which contained ham and cheese sandwiches, little containers of Chloe's special sesame noodles, apples, strawberries, and cinnamon buns. Finley and Jake sat with Alexis, Luca, Alfie, and Tommy at one of the picnic tables. They discussed the tumbling class that Finney, Jake, Alexis, and Alfie took. Alexis was on her first patch, Finley and Jake were on their fourth, and Alfie was on his third. They talked about their favorite activities and what they were excited to do at their next tumbling lesson. When they had all finished, they threw their rubbish away and ran to the flying fox. Finley held onto the seat as Jake climbed on, then he zipped down to the end and climbed off. He dragged his seat back up to Tommy, who held the seat still while Finley climbed on. "Whoa-ho!" Finley yelled, holding onto the rope very tightly as it flew to the other end of the line. She jumped off and ran to give the seat to Alfie and jump back in line. She talked to Jake while they waited. "What do you want to do in the afternoon?" Jake asked Finley. "Maybe Max and Matthew will take us to the park," Finley answered. "If there isn't a baseball or football practice, we could have our own little practice. And if there is, we can practice on the lacrosse field. And if there's lacrosse practice, we can play on the playground." "That's a good idea," said Jake. "We can do ground ball drills and Matthew could pitch to us in the batting cage." "I'll go ask them." Finley ran off to where Matthew was playing tag with his friends. She tapped him on the shoulder and he stopped running away from Clayton, who was it. "Matthew," she asked, "will you take me and Jake to the park this afternoon?" Clayton finally caught up with Matthew and tapped him. "You're it," he said, and ran off. "Max and I are going to the park this afternoon, and if you're extra nice to us, you can come," said Matthew. Matthew and Max were allowed to go to the park by themselves as long as they came back before the time that Anne, David, Jen, or Mark told them to be back, and they didn't do anything too dangerous. They were also allowed to take Finley and Jake with them, sometimes, but their parents didn't let them go for more than half an hour when their younger siblings were with them. Finley nodded and ran back over to Jake. He said yes, but only if we're really nice to them. "Oh, man," said Jake. "Maybe Mom will take us. Then we can be as annoying as usual." Then it was Jake's turn to hold the seat for Luca. They enjoyed the rest of recess, and Jake and Finley were extra nice to Max and Matthew. When David blew his whistle, the class lined up in front of him. "Ready to go inside, guys?" David asked. They all said yes, though not very excitedly. David let them inside. When they arrived in the classroom, David said to them, "We are having a seating chart change." Everyone saw that the seats were different than before. Instead of being in rows, they were sitting in little table groups. Finlay was next to Tommy, and Jake was next to Luca at a different group. Finlay sat at her new seat. One of the legs was shorter than the rest, so the chair rocked back and forth. Finlay liked it when chairs did this, but it annoyed the rest of her family. David told them that they were going to be doing some science. They would be learning about force and motion. David had a lot of Caleb's toy cars and gave each group a sheet to answer questions about what happened when they would push the cars across the table. Dash did the writing for their table group, and Ridley, Tommy, and Finley looked at what happened when they pushed the cars and told Dash what to write. Dash did calligraphy as a hobby and had beautiful handwriting. When Dash had come to Finley's birthday party, he had given her a beautifully pinned card. Finley had put it on her cork board, and it was still there. The next question is, how does the amount of force that you push the car with affect how fast or far the car goes? Said Dash. Finley got one of the toy cars, and she pushed it with a little bit of force. It rolled about a foot. Then she put a lot of force on it, and it flew off the table and landed on the ground. One of the wheels fell off. Finley took the wheel and the little car to David, while Dash wrote down their answer. Oh dear, said David as he inspected the car. I bet I can glue the wheel back on. David went to a cabinet and found a bottle of glue. He put a bit of glue on the axle of the car and put the wheel back on the axle. He set the car down so that the glue would dry. He said to Finley, well, that'll be good as new. Finley, how about you go back to your seat for now? Keep working on your paper. You guys got like 7 cars. I mean, how many inch long cars do you need? Not very many, said Finley. She ran back to her seat. She looked over at the paper that Dash was still writing on. Wow, said Finley. You are a really great cartographer. I tried cartography once, said Dash. I suck at it. No, you don't, Finley exclaimed. The birthday card you made me was super nice. That's because I didn't put a map on it, Dash replied. Why would you do that? Finley asked. Cartography is map making. I used calligraphy on your card, said Dash. Oh, said Finley. What's calligraphy? Asked Tommy. Anne was going to be doing another round of the educational bee. The Sharkers and the Tigers would play, but Matthew wasn't going to be playing the first 5 questions. He would play for the second 5, since Will decided to nominate him as captain for the last 5 questions. Will was Matthew's team, the Tigers' captain. Question 1, Anne said to 2 Sharkers players, as well as Will and Ava. Which state has only 1 syllable in its name? Isabel pressed her buzzer. Utah. That is incorrect, said Anne. Tigers, you may buzz in. Ava pressed her buzzer. Maine. But Maine has more letters than Utah, said Isabel. Yeah, but it has 2 syllables, said Will. That's correct, said Anne. Utah has 2 syllables and Maine has 1. If you were to clap while you said it, you would go Utah. But if you clap while you said Maine, you would go Maine. So just the 1 clap is the one you're looking for. Bonus for the Tigers, said Anne. This is a very hard one. What is the longest word only typed with the left hand? Will knew the answer to this question. Stewardesses. Well, I don't know why you knew that, but that is correct. 3-0 Tigers. Anne ruffled her papers. Toss up number 2. What number did the opposite sides of dice add up to? Matthew could see everyone thinking before Lily pressed her buzzer and answered 7, which Anne said was correct. Bonus for the Sharkers. Arachibutyrophobia is the fear of what? Lily answered, Arachnids. That's what I thought as well, but I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Tigers, you may sneal. Arachibutyrophobia is the fear of having peanut butter stuck to the roof of your mouth, said Will. Well, do you have three brains or something? I could never store that much information in my head, said Anne, who was very impressed, especially since she was pretty sure she had pronounced arachibutyrophobia wrong, and Will had done it correctly. 5-1, Tigers. Toss-up number 3. Where is a shrimp's heart? Isabel, who knew a lot about animals, buzzed in. She wanted to be a marine biologist when she grew up. It's in its head. Correct. Bonus for the sharkers. What animal has cube-shaped feces? Isabel whispered something to Lily, and Lily said, the wombat? That is correct, said Anne. The educational bee went on, and then Matthew got to switch in. He and Connor sat in their seats, and the other team switched Isabel out for Scott. Toss-up number 6. What is the largest organ? Matthew knew this. He'd learned this in science class. He pressed his buzzer. The skin, he said. That is correct, said Anne. Bonus for the tigers. How many different flavors are in Fruit Loops? Matthew and Connor had no idea, even though they tried to count all of the different colors. Time, said Anne. Do you have an answer? 7? Asked Matthew. That's incorrect, said Anne. 1 is the correct answer. Toss-up number 7. Which country is visited the most? France, Lily buzzed in. Correct, said Anne. Bonus for the sharkers. What country has the most islands? Both teams got it incorrect, and the answer turned out to be Sweden. Matthew's team won the match, and then the Cucumbers played the Rockets and won by a large margin. Okay, said Anne when everyone was back in their seats. We are going to be doing a special lesson today. We're going to be playing a board game. Max, can it be sorry? Max asked. No, said Anne. I'm sorry, but it will be chess. Everyone come up here and get a chess board and a bag of pieces. Once Anne had taught the students how to play chess, she told them to choose a partner and start a game. Max and Matthew played each other. As it turned out, Max was good at chess. Max was very good at chess. He beat Matthew in about 3 minutes. You're really good, Matthew told his best friend, who shrugged. I suppose so, said Max. How's the game going, boys? Anne asked as she walked by. Max won, Matthew grumbled. Already? Anne asked. Max, you should join Elm Ridge's chess team. I'm not that good, Max said. Matthew's just really bad. Max, please be nice, Anne said. I'm sure Matthew tried his hardest. Yeah, Max, said Matthew. I'm really good at chess. Obviously, said Max. Why don't you play each other again until another person finishes, Anne suggested. So they played, and Max won. Again. And then he won a third time, and then a fourth, and then a fifth. Hey, Clayton, Matthew called when he saw that Clayton was finished with his game. What? Clayton called back. Play Max, Matthew said. Clayton was really good at chess, Matthew knew. And Clayton paid Max, and he lost. Max, said Anne, I believe you have a hidden talent. Chess? Max asked. Yes, said Anne. You know, your dad went to the National Chess Championships when he was in middle school. Now I bet he has a chess set. Maybe chess talent is genetic. Maybe, said Max. I don't think chess talent is genetic, said Clayton. No one in my family is good at chess. Maybe it's a recessive trait, said Matthew. Probably, said Max. They spent the rest of the afternoon playing chess, and by the end of the day, Max was getting better and better, which was pretty hard for him, since there wasn't much up to go to. Soon enough, it was time to go to the playground for dismissal. Anne lined her class up, and they walked down the hallway and outside. Matthew and his friends decided to use the obstacle course they had created. They had lots of fun running around. Then the walkers were dismissed, the car riders left, and the bus riders. Finley and the rest of the drama club were the only ones left, and they went to the auditorium for a rehearsal. Good rehearsal, guys, said Jen when they were all sitting on the edge of the stage at the end of rehearsal. I think we could do a performance now if we wanted to. That full run-through really went well. And remember, as long as you stick to the story and the repetition, especially the narrators, you can really do a lot of improvisation with this. Which is why I chose this story. Can't learn Midsummer Night's Dream in a couple of days, can you? What's Midsummer Night's Dream? Alexis asked. It's a Shakespeare play, said Jen. Who's Shakespeare? Alexis asked. Shakespeare was a playwright, Jen answered. He wrote A Midsummer Night's Dream, the Scottish play, Romeo and Juliet. I thought the Scottish play was called Macbeth, said Matthew. It's also called the Scottish play, said Jen. Soon they were picked up by parents or walked home, or some of them rode the late bus home. Finley, Matthew, and Caleb had all had a lot of fun and were excited to come back tomorrow and were a little bit nervous about the concert and the rest of parents' night. But they were sure that they would perform really well.